Edward Snowden recently told us that there's a lot more in the pipeline from the documents he purloined from the National Security Agency. On March 18th, based on Snowden documents, the Washington Post, in an article written by Bart Gellman and Ashkan Soltani, described a surveillance program that records 100% of a particular nation's telephone calls, and the NSA has a 30-day collection of those phone calls that they can access at any time. They also catalog and archive some of the phone calls during that 30-day period. The program is called Mystic, and it started back in 2009. And the reporting is very significant and interesting, but it raises a lot of questions in my little bald head. So I turned to my friend Russ Tice, who used to work at the NSA and who has been a source of a lot of interesting information about the unconstitutional surveillance of Americans by the agency where he used to work. Russ, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me back.
And I want to let our listeners know that we're going to do a little bit of speculation here, and we will try to be very clear about at what point we are ruminating about possibilities, and at other points we're talking about things that we can prove and quantify and that we know to be true. So maybe we should subtitle this episode, Ruminating with Russ. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
So, Russ, you read the same article by Bart Gellman and his colleague, and it really triggered a response from you, because you were the first to tell me and others that the NSA is getting absolutely everything, all forms of electronic communication. And so this report is significant because it once again buttresses a commentary that you have offered in the past. What did you pick up from this report?
Well, excuse me. When I read it, you know, I said to myself, well, you know, as far as I know, we only have 100% coverage on one country that I know of. Now, by its explanation, the country I'm referring to is not a foreign country. Mm-hmm. It's the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So, to have total access to another country's communications, you have to literally get inside their nodes and their switching centers and their frame rooms, and you have to be able to tap into what they're doing from the sources of the information. You can't get it all from the man in the middle type stuff. Mm-hmm. Willy-nilly tapping this line or that line or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything these days is going fiber optics. So it's not like it's all being done via satellite or it's all being done via microwave. Most everything these days is going to the fiber optics,
mm-hmm.
which means it's more hands-on to get into it. So the first thing I thought of was, well, you know, the only country I know of is us. Now, perhaps they've got somebody else, but more than likely, and we're getting back to this, you know, we're speculating here,
mm-hmm.
that, okay, maybe they have 100% of somebody else, but they're probably not talking about the United States if they're talking foreign, and they're omitting the fact that they're doing everything domestically within the United States.
So let me read the entire first paragraph of the article. The NSA has built a surveillance system capable of recording 100% of a foreign country's telephone calls, enabling the agency to rewind and review conversations as long as a month after they take place, according to people with direct knowledge of the effort and documents supplied by Edward Snowden. Now, four paragraphs below that, they note, at the request of U.S. officials, the Washington Post is withholding details that could be used to identify the country where the system is being employed or other countries where its use was envisioned. So, from the very first sentence of the article, they are steering the reader to think of a foreign country. But then they tell us that they're not naming the country, and that it was envisioned in other countries, which presumably could include our own. And so the vagueness of this, while it is frustrating, is somewhat understandable, and I don't know you know, which NSA lawyer has been arm wrestling which Washington Post lawyer, but you can imagine that these articles are heavily lawyered before they're published. But still, let's speculate for a moment about a foreign country of any size, of any description, where we could achieve the level of penetration that you just described, Russ, because as you and I know, pardon me, it was Mark Klein who disclosed the access by the NSA to the digital pipes in San Francisco at AT&T at their big switch center, and the diversion of all of that data flowing through the Folsom Street switch to an unknown NSA destination. So what foreign country would we have the kind of access to required to achieve 100% collection?
A small one, maybe. I'm thinking Liechtenstein. so it's, you know, where it wouldn't be too hard if you could, because they probably only have one switching center. Mm-hmm. Or a nation that relies heavily on satellite communications, like Indonesia, mm-hmm. because of the stretched out nature of their country being a huge archipelago.
Right.
A lot of their communications was set up to be done via satellite and radio, microwave.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a country that does most of their communications via radio wave,
mm-hmm.
or satellite signal, then it would be a lot easier than digging in to get the access to their fiber optic lines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even countries like an archipelago, because of it's a whole lot cheaper to operate via laying the fiber lines.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to fiber optics. So it still leads you to think, you know, okay. I mean, it's possible that they could have gotten into someone's total capability, but I can't imagine it's a country that has an awful robust communications network system.
And Russ, the Five Eyes come to mind, our Anglo-related allies of Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. But we don't really have the kind of need, or at least I don't think we do, to record all of the phone calls in Britain, because I think GCHQ's already got that covered.
I would think they already have that covered, unless it's back to the echelon mentality of, you know, you tap our people, we tap your people,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be interesting, by the way,
mm-hmm.
if they were talking about the England or the United Kingdom, that we are using Mystic to literally tap everything in the UK. That is something to consider, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and we know from the revelations from Snowden that the NSA has gamed the American laws by getting collected materials from the other allies, these English-speaking nations, calling it incidental collection. Games have been played, and it's possible that there is this grand bargain, to borrow a hackneyed phrase, where the British say, okay, chaps, we'll cover your country and you cover ours, and we'll put it up on a server where you can find it.
And that's absolutely right. It would be games being played. And speaking of games, I remember, I can't say specifically, but way back when I was doing some collection in a far part of the world, and the Super Bowl was about to come on, and we all wanted to watch the Super Bowl, of course. So we accessed a communication thing that we probably shouldn't have been accessing so that we could watch the Super Bowl, and we called that training.
Well, at least you weren't peeking into somebody's bedroom, all right?
No, we were peeking into somebody's, Super Bowl. But anyhow,
mm-hmm.
it's the kind of thing, even back then, technically, I guess we weren't supposed to do that. But it was like, we're going to watch the Super Bowl. But yeah, it wasn't listening in on someone's bedtime or pillow talk conversation or something like that.
Now here's another quote from the Gelman article in the Washington Post. No other NSA program disclosed to date, that's a very important qualifier, has swallowed a nation's telephone network whole. Outside experts have sometimes described that prospect as disquieting but remote, with notable implications for a growing debate over the NSA's practice of bulk collection abroad. What do you make of that?
I don't know what to make of that. What are they talking about? That's another thing you have to, you have to really look at the wording of some of these things to try to figure out where they're putting in their little wiggle words and their little mealy-mouth things that they're, I don't know what that means.
Now, I alerted you to a sidebar that was up at the Washington Post website, and assuming that it is still active, I'll put a link to it in the show file for this podcast so our listeners can find it as well. And it's described here, the headline reads, Description of Data Collection by NSA under MYSTIC. And they reprint two pages of documents that they tell us came from the Ed Snowden Trove. And then they offer a glossary of some of the terms. For example, Scalawag is a particular signals intelligence address under the MYSTIC program. It describes where the data collection occurs. Now, that's a very critical issue here in what we're speculating about, because you have to have hardwire access to the fiber networks in order to achieve 100% collection. And so, I don't know who makes up these code names, but they have a lot of fun with it, I can tell. as you read this list of these code names, were any of them new to you, Russ?
Most all of them are new to me, as a matter of fact. So, remember, I got fired from NSA in 2005. So what we're talking about, and there's something interesting about this MYSTIC program, is that the documentation they're talking about, I think, is from 2009 to 2011 or 12, I think.
Yes, the Post article says that it began in 2009, and it reached full capacity against the first target nation, the 100% level, in 2011. And planning documents 2 years later anticipated similar operations elsewhere.
Okay, now you gotta remember other things that are happening at NSA while this is going on. NSA at that time is desperately trying to finish a facility in a place called Bluffdale, Utah. Now, they're talking about in this article that they could only hold on to it for about 30 days, and then it would go into a loop. Well, the reason they can only hold on to something for 30 days is because they don't have the storage capability. Now, what is Bluffdale, Utah? It's a huge data storage facility. They can handle almost infinite amount of storage. So that's what they're waiting for on that end of the equation, is they're waiting for Bluffdale to open. Now, Bluffdale opened in December of 2012, is when Bluffdale went online. Now, of course, they lied about that, but that's when they started bringing Bluffdale up. Apparently, they had some troubles doing it, but that's when they started putting stuff into Bluffdale, a year ahead of when they initially thought they would have the thing opened. So now all of a sudden they have the capability to start storing everything on everybody that they're listening into, including the United States. Now also they mentioned MYSTIC, and this is you mentioned about all these different cover names. One thing that I've noticed about everything that Mr. Snowden has, it's all what we considered white world information.
Explain.
Okay. White world is information that many thousands of people within NSA would have access to. In other words, when he said in some of his interviews that I as a the IT guy or any NSA employee could be able to bring this up. He's absolutely right, because he's talking about something that they gave access to all the different analysts and all the different people inside NSA that they could bring this up. And then on some of them, you know, they peeked in on their boyfriend or their girlfriend or their mm-hmm. wife or, you know, whatever, or whatever love interest they were interested in. Those kind of abuses, by the way, which were only found out because these people would spill the beans when they went up for their polygraphs. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been caught doing yeah. that. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why we know those. But anyhow, so we're talking about something that's been thrown out there that NSA is putting out there for all of their people. Now, NSA has another higher element, an echelon of security that's called the black world. Now, I specialized in the black world. That was my specialty at NSA. I don't talk very often, and you know this, about the things that I did in the black
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
But NSA takes certain things that should not be in the black world, and they give them the black world security. In other words, this won't be called Mystic now. It'll be called, I don't know, Tree Flinger or something, you know, whatever the crazy names they come up with.
Yeah.
But this will be now a black world caveat that they're using to keep it from the majority of the populace at NSA, of the rank and file. So, and in this case, and this is what they did with Stellar Wind. They put it into the black world because to have higher protections of the knowledge. And at NSA, they call these things VRKs or ECIs. VRK means very restricted knowledge, and ECI means extremely compartmentalized information.
Okay.
So that's the black world inside. These are the intelligence community crown jewels that Edward Snowden did not have access to, because they have entirely separate network communication or network protections and systems. In mm-hmm. other words, they're entirely devoid of the rank and file computer systems and that sort of thing that Mr. Snowden was the IT one and IT director for. So that's how they hide something that they don't want. That's why only, you know, very few people inside NSA knew about Stellar Wind, was because they had it at such a super high security level to keep it away from the rank and file. I know NSA is doing this, what we're talking about against a foreign nation, NSA is doing this domestically against the United States. Now, when they say, well, we're not collecting at all, well, no, they're not collecting at all because they have a filter for what they consider spam. If there's a Viagra commercial on a phone call, they filter that out right away.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, the majority of all our communications are now being collected in bulk by NSA.
Mm-hmm.
And they're storing it in Bluffdale.
And the metadata, which is, you know, it's the top poppy, so to speak. It's what is visible. It's the program that, you know, has been most discussed, and there are these various bills that would kill the metadata collection or require an individualized warrant to collect metadata. But this forms the index that makes it much easier to decide which calls to actually have a human capture and listen to. The entire volume of communication is too big. It's that haystack. And so, correct me if I'm off base here, Russ, but it seems to me that the metadata really provides the index that makes the search so much more practical.
Well, of course. Just like going to the, when you go to the library, in the old days, you go to the library and you go to the index cards. And you're writing your term paper on, I don't know, you're the sex life of horny toad frogs in Southwest America. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. You know, that's a pretty weird topic. So you have to go to the index cards to find something as specific as horny toad frogs in Southwest United States or something like that. It's the same. So the rank and file to look up whatever they're looking for, they have to have access to to the index. Now here, the index is more important for something else, by the way. The index has the cover from the monkey, from the blind monkey court, which is the FISA court. They have the approval monkey stamp with FISA, so that when they come after somebody to, and then they want to throw the their phone call information in a court of law, they did this to me in a grand jury, and they did this to James Risen in the grand jury.
Hold on, Russ. That can't be true, because President Obama has told us that there have been no abuses of the NSA data collected. I'm sorry, you're going to have to retract that statement.
Well, what's his definition of abuse?
Well, his friends reviewed the information and told him there hadn't been any abuse.
Oh, there you go. Everything's fine. Right?
Okay, so, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. So it's a way so that they can, just like Tim Clemente, you know, and when he said this about a year ago, this is what, because I hadn't talked to my sources inside the NSA in some time.
And let me just remind people, Clemente is a former FBI agent who appeared on CNN and other networks after the Boston Marathon bombing and said that they have ways to listen back to the elder Tsarnaev's phone calls to his girlfriend. That's the explicit context for this.
Right, and Aaron Burnett said, you're not talking about the context, you're just talking about the fact that the phone call was made, unless it was a computer, because she's apparently well enough or knows enough to ask that question. And he said, no, we're not talking about a computer-generated phone call, and we're not talking about the metadata. We're talking about the content, word for word, what he said to his wife before he was ever suspected of being involved in anything like
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what tipped the trigger for me. I went, oh, no. You know, I know NSA's wanted this capability, and I figured it'd probably be 2015 before they'd have it. And that's when I immediately contacted my sources inside NSA, and we had a little powwow to discuss what was going on. That was my trigger almost a year ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, so I think what's going on here is that NSA probably has another caveat that they're keeping in the black world, so that not many people in NSA know this, because once again, they know it's illegal and they know it's unconstitutional. And just like Bush did it back then, lying through his teeth, they want to make sure that the press doesn't find out about it. And they're just thankful to the, you know, to whatever forsaken God they pray to, that Mr. Snowden didn't have IT access to any black world stuff.
All right, here, Russ, next, I'd like to give a dramatic reading to this jargon-filled memo attributed to the Snowden cache and published on the website of the Washington Post, and then perhaps you can give us a real-time translation, all right?
Here we go.
TSSIREL to USA FVEY. What does that mean? Is that the coding? Because it doesn't say no foreign, and it I guess TS is top secret.
Top secret is TS. Yeah.
SI.
REL to is
relevant to.
Yeah. It's relay. In other words, it's who we can talk to. So uh-huh. Who was the REL to?
REL to USA, comma FVEY.
FVEY.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign FVE, foreign something. F-V-E. I don't know what FVEY stands for.
Okay.
That's something I'm not familiar with. So.
All right. So then it says Scalawag/US-3310BG. Has long since reached the point where it was collecting and sending home far more than the bandwidth could handle. Over-collecting has significantly increased the latency of, and this is kind of overlaid with different text, of something 1-2 content data. Because Scalawag is NSA's number one provider of actionable signals intelligence on redacted country name, measures had to be taken to alleviate pressure on the bandwidth and decrease latency of priority 1-2 data. In the summer of 2011, in an effort to decrease the amount of voice content brought home, SSO deleted a large quantity of priority 4 and below tasking that was bringing content and, according to the Double Arrow database, had not been touched. Additionally, a change of priority 4 tasking to priority 6 was affected, again based on Double Arrow results. As a result, the latency for primarily PRI 1-2 has dropped considerably. However, these actions were still falling short because of the volume of collection was increasing. So this does apparently refer to a foreign country. And one of the things that comes to mind here, Russ, is there's no talk about needing translators to understand what this content really means. So would that suggest that it's an English language country?
That's an excellent point. That is, I didn't pick up on that either when I read that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent point, because anytime you're talking about a foreign language, you're talking about processors and linguists.
Mm-hmm.
So what would normally happen is you'd run the data through the information through a computer. It's a computerized translator.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes an incredible amount of processing capability to do that, by the way. An enormous amount. And by the way, this is still the biggest problem NSA has today, is the processing and the filtering and all that sort of stuff. And that's what they're talking about here. They're talking about breaking it down into multiple levels of prioritization of the different types of communications they're getting from the X country. And then they're talking about at what level, they're being overwhelmed, so they're basically chopping out the what they've considered low priority, and then they're talking about even their higher priority is starting to increase beyond what they can cover.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the increased volume.
Yeah.
So, and they did not mention the language processing. So that's a very good point. It makes me even think more that they're talking about England.
Mm-hmm.
or Australia or New Zealand. But to be honest, if I had to say of the Five Eyes nations who they'd be more interested in and going after, I would say it would be Mother England.
Yeah. I would have to agree, but you know much more than I do. All right, let me wade through this next paragraph. On December 15, 2011, SSO Collection and Program Management implemented a rule for Scalawag UTT tasking that basically doesn't allow any effective collection priority at PRI 4 and below tasking. It must be understood that the priority of tasking is not the same and straightforward as octave. Analysts must choose fields whose net result is priority 1-3. And then it talks about, additionally, anything below 4 was deleted. Since implementation, some TOPIS, T-O-P-I-S, may have noted a decreased total volume in their Scalawag collection delivered to their Nucleon accounts. And Nucleon is defined in the glossary here as NSA's Signals Intelligence Database for Voice Content Phone Calls. Can you help us understand this one, Russ?
They're talking about having access and what priority and being and where it's going to as far as the phone databases that it's being stored at.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then once it's in a Nucleon account, they use the retro tool that allows analysts to go 30 days into the past and retrieve audio of interest that was not tasked at the time of the original call.
So, in other words, some of this communication they already have tagged or targeted.
Mm-hmm.
as high value or whatever, for whatever reason, and they automatically are sending that information to analysts to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. So this phone call today might be ranked in the category 1, right?
which, in that case, in other words, someone, it would be recorded and literally someone's a little ping box at NSA or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
would have a flag and they would have a designator number, and they know that's That's Russ Tice, Peter Collins, and we want you to look at that as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's assuming there were priority one, and I'm not egotistical enough to think I'm priority one anymore, but
I'm just hoping that I'm not priority one, Russ. There's no ego involved. It's waiting for the knock on the door.
So your feelings aren't hurt that you're not priority one?
No, sir.
I've been priority one for so many years, and now that they're not following me around, it's almost like, hey, where are the guys that follow me around? It's like my buddies aren't here anymore.
The novelty has worn off, I guess.
Yeah, so it's...
Well, Russ, what else did you pick up of interest? The retro tool, any of these other descriptions in the post glossary that you thought were remarkable?
The main thing that I thought of interest in the whole thing was the fact that they were talking about they only had the 30-day buffer. And that's because they didn't have the storage capability. Now, you're limited, and it's just like if you have a phone system where you're an answering machine, and they only have so much, and then they tell you better delete this now, or we're not going to even let you have access. So they're going through that cycle, and this is before Bluffdale opens, and that's important to know that this is we're talking about before Bluffdale opens. We're talking about a white world system. And a white world collection that's being offered to an awful lot of people at NSA. So it's apparently it is another country, I guess, and they get everything. And NSA and GCHQ have quite a an agreement of, mm-hmm. of sharing information. So
yeah.
As well as the Aussies and the Kiwis. And the
Maple Canucks. Leafs.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Is it insulting to say Canuck? I don't know.
I think some do take offense. The one thing you can say to a Canadian is I know how to spell Canada. Canada. Now, Russ, before we wrap up here, I wanted to get your reaction to two news reports that surfaced this week, one day after the other. On the 18th, it was reported that the Pentagon's intelligence watchdog, the Deputy Inspector General for Intel, has admitted that he didn't know about the metadata collection program. His name is Anthony Thomas. His exact title, Deputy Defense Department Inspector General for Intelligence and Special Program Assessments. And this is important because it's been represented by General Alexander and others that he was a part of the robust oversight of the NSA's domestic surveillance programs. And yet he... In a situation where he was primarily arguing against the individual warrant requirement for metadata, had to admit that he hadn't been briefed on the program, even though it was represented under oath by top leaders that he was in that loop. Do you have any comment?
Yeah, what our government is trying to do is they're trying to say they have all these oversight capabilities. They have an IG and they have this and that. And it's all a lie. It's a complete lie. There is no oversight. Congress has no pushback. Congress can only take what NSA and CIA and NRO and whatever they tell them they're doing, they have to take that for their word. So it's when I went to the DOD IG, I told them that I'd like to talk to them about stuff at the black world that was because I couldn't tell them. And most the main person I was talking to, he didn't have access to this. And then I went to the guy that there was a security guy, and I said, "Well, I know how to get you guys read in. I know the person at NSA." And he said, "I don't know, and I don't want to know." This guy, his name was Eidelberg, Norm Eidelberg.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, I don't care. I don't care what you want to tell me, and I'm not going to listen even if you try to tell me, is what he was telling me. This, mm-hmm. this Eidelberg guy. And then I come to find out that this guy Eidelberg is good buddies with the security office at NSA. And then someone told me that he left the DODIG downtown, and then for a brief period or a year or two or something, he went to work at NSA's IG. Hmm. So it's like they're in cahoots, and they're told that, you know, as far as the IG office is concerned, here's another thing. The IG office, their security clearances are controlled by the security office.
Hmm.
And the security office, essentially, is controlled by the front office and the director. So the IG is not, and everyone saying the IG is independent is nonsense. If the director wants to hang and put a rope around the IG's throat, the director has the capability to do that, and so does the director of his security office.
And I'll use a slightly different image, Russ. I imagine invisible leashes
yeah,
as opposed to a noose. Yes, they have them controlled by the neck, but I imagine that what you just described, this incestuous situation where you can't get clearance to be the DOD IG unless the NSA gives you approval.
Absolutely. So all this nonsense about all the we have all this oversight, and it's a joke. It doesn't exist. It's basically going to the fox at the hen house and saying, you know, Mr. Fox, we put you in charge of the security at the hen house, and we're losing a lot of chickens here, and we don't understand why. And the fox says, yeah, that's a problem. I'm not sure what's going on. And Mr. Fox, we would like you to write a security, you know, to write an assessment and do some oversight as to what's going on here with the disappearance of all these chickens at the hen house. And as he's, like, picking feathers out of his teeth, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll write that report for you. I'll set up a special oversight board, to determine what's going on with all the missing chickens.
Yeah, the IG is busy, enjoying some extra crispy finger-licking good.
Yeah.
All right, the following day, Rajesh D, or Day, D-E is the way he spells his name, who is now the NSA General Counsel, said that the Surveillance Valley or Silicon Valley companies were fully aware of the widespread collection of data. Now, this relates to the PRISM program. And as we're all aware, after the revelations from Ed Snowden via Glenn Greenwald last June, there was this outrage expressed by Google and Facebook and Apple and Microsoft and the others whose company logos showed up on these PowerPoint slides that were released. And the companies, harumped and harumped and harumped and said, we don't know anything about this and this is outrageous. Well, what this attorney is saying is that they all had full knowledge and assistance from the companies who participated in the program. Now, I do believe that they were compelled to participate. I would put Google in a separate category because it has so many partnerships with the intelligence community that it may have been a, as they like to say, a witting participant. But the others may have been forced to participate. At any event, their disclaimers of knowledge when this was floated last June seem now to be flat-out lies, Russ.
Well, you got to remember the levels that they were going after. There's the front end, there's the man in the middle, and then there's the back end. So, you know, we know that the NSA and the FBI were giving, through the blind monkey FISA court, were giving these general warrants, or whatever they want to call them, for a whole bunch of information. Now, this is and with gag orders and all that sort of stuff. Now, of course, the company lawyers know this is happening. And this is the carrot and the stick. So the government is saying, we want this information, and we want it in bulk for blah, blah, blah. And if you don't, you know, participate, we're going to make life miserable for you. We're going to cut contracts. I mean, look what happened to Quest.
Mm-hmm.
His CEO went to jail for so many years.
Joe Nocio was just released a few months ago.
Oh, it'd be great for you to do an interview with that guy.
I immediately called his lawyer and asked for an interview, and I never heard back. So I'd mm-hmm. love to talk to Joe Nachio about what happened to him.
But, yeah, I'd like to hear from him, too. So the government is doing the carrot and the stick. The carrot is the fact that, oh, by the way, we're going to pay you millions and millions and millions of dollars for your trouble and for, you know, whatever, you know, it's going to take for you to give us this information. And the government forked over tens of millions of dollars to these companies for the information at the front end. Now, I think what's happening is that the government is also going the man in the middle, and they're going at, you know, and they're tapping different segments that these companies, you know, did not know was happening. So, in other words, they're getting their money up front, and it's boosting the bottom line, and they're happy about that. But the government's also going after them in capacities that they were unaware of. And so, in a way, I feel, you know, a little bit bad for these guys and these companies, especially now that it's coming out and they're, you know, and no one trusts them anymore. But they were put under pressure, and they saw that their fellow CEO Nachio goes to jail for not cooperating with the government. So, mm-hmm.
And Russ, you mentioned there is a real cost to these companies, and we're speaking here on the 21st of March when the New York Times today has published a story that Microsoft has lost customers, including the government of Brazil, because of the exposure of our spying. IBM is spending more than $1 billion to build data centers overseas in order to reassure foreign customers that their information is safe from the prying eyes of the NSA. And the list continues, but those are just two very clear examples. And so there is a cost. And these corporations, I understand the pickle that many of them are in, but they are also misleading their customers and users and pretending that they had no knowledge when the government, at least, is asserting pretty forcefully that they actually did.
Well, of course they're being misleading. And, you know, even some of the stuff that may have happened in Man in the Middle and at the other end, you know, these companies, they have capabilities. You know, if you have a fiber optic line, there are ways to look at a fiber optic line and see if certain elements of that light wave are being tampered with, even a minute amount. There's all kinds of test equipment and things you hook up into it to see if someone's trying to tamper with that line, or to see if a little bit of energy is being sifted, is siphoned away from that. If your technicians plug that in and say, "Hey, we're losing some information," or some, you know, and it's right at this point, and then the company sees that, oh, that's where they had some kind of government something happen, or you know, and then they're probably going to say to themselves, "Oh, the government is messing with us," but the bottom line is the signal still goes through. We're still making our millions for the front end side, so we're going to keep our eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
So is that sort of thing happening? I don't know for sure. But these companies, I mean, they make their living through technology, and they have personnel that are extremely bright in the tech field.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it very difficult to believe that they did not have indications that not just the front end, but other things were happening at the middle and farther down the line with their communications.
Russ, I've saved the best for last. In June of last year, you disclosed to me and Sibel Edmonds that you had participated in the installation of wiretaps on Senator Dianne Feinstein, chair now of the Intelligence Committee. And recently, despite her history of being a staunch defender and enabler of not only the NSA, but the entire intelligence community, she went public with a bitter struggle with the Central Intelligence Agency, and it's about the torture rendition and detention report. But the focal point for me is that she went public because she feels the CIA was inappropriately spying on her staff members regarding the preparation of the report and the issues related to the so-called Panetta review. So she is now challenging an agency that she had so staunchly defended. And I am waiting still for corporate media to cover your important revelations and see if Senator Feinstein has the same sense of being bitten by her friends at the NSA.
Well, first of all, I need to make a quick correction. I was not involved in the installation of those programs. What I was seeing was the output of what was going on against spying of people like Dianne Feinstein.
Okay, yes.
But I was not actively involved in doing the wiretaps.
You were aware of them.
I became aware of them, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's how I find out. And mainly, remember, I'm a space guy. The main stuff that I found out from what I was technically doing was from the space side. The fiber optic side and all that stuff, like the node at San Francisco there with Mark Klein and all mm-hmm. the other nodes that got tapped around the country, that's the terrestrial fiber optic side that I found out through my colleagues and friends at NSA.
Okay.
And this is our little committee that I told you when Clemente had his thing. This is the mm-hmm. group that NSA would desperately love to find out who my sources are inside. But anyhow, that's not going to happen. So now as far as, you know, her being upset that now that the CIA is digging into you know, what the oversight the CISI is doing,
mm-hmm.
the Senate Intelligence Committee, it's called the CISI.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like that, but everybody calls it that anyhow. But anyhow, so, yeah, it's sort of like, well, apparently she didn't care that the rest of her constituency was being spied on, but now that they're doing it, now that they're doing it against their committee and she knows it,
mm-hmm.
now she's upset, and apparently because I think she wants to bring out the fact that the CIA was not only torturing people, but probably torturing people to death in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, far beyond just some waterboarding. This is something I've suspected for a long time, though I've never had anything to do with any of that.
Right.
But, just look at the case of the three guys at Guantanamo that supposedly tied their hands behind their back and stuffed socks down their throats and hung themselves.
In June of 2006, yes, I recall that vividly.
Mm-hmm. One of those fellows was going to be released just 2 weeks after that event. So
mm-hmm.
2 weeks before he's going to be released and sent home, he stuffs, you know, he magically can kill himself in such a manner. So now she's all upset. And here's the next. I don't think CIA has the capability to do this against Dianne Feinstein. I would not be surprised. Matter of fact, I would almost expect that CIA has gone to NSA and said, "Hey, we want to go after the CISI, and we want what you have on what you've collected against the mm-hmm. members of the CISI, including Dianne Feinstein,
and
the chairwoman."
Specifically, their area of interest would likely include the discussions about the Panetta review and
Absolutely.
The fact that the intelligence staffers made a copy of it and took it from the CIA skiff over to Capitol Hill.
That's supposedly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what gets me is how they could make a copy and get it over there without being detected, because in those reading rooms, the CIA reading rooms that they set up,
mm-hmm.
they put little spy cameras in those rooms and audio things, so that when you're doing that, they're watching you. They're
mm-hmm.
watching you read the documents. So I'm not sure how they could make a copy and then hike out with it. To me, I find that interesting.
Yeah.
That's how they caught the one guy. Who was that, Baker, who walked out with SCI documents stuffed in his undershorts and his socks?
No, it was Sandy Berger.
Berger, that's it, Berger.
Yeah. In fact, for some reason, he was on TV last night talking about Ukraine, and I hadn't seen Sandy in a long, long time.
Just ask him, hey, can we see those documents you got stuffed in your shorts and
right.
your socks? What kind of goodies you got there that you can tell us about?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny seeing people like Michael Hayden being and all this stuff with the stuff that's going on with this airliner, the Malaysian airliner that's
mm-hmm.
missing, and these supposed experts who, and I'm an expert when it comes to satellites and radar and stuff like that. And these clowns that they have on there that don't know a clue about what they're talking about, and of course these news people don't know what they're being told, so they don't know that these people are idiots and don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, coming back to Feinstein, I think this is a critical moment because I have been discussing with you over the last 9 months the significance of if, in fact, Feinstein was surveilled by the NSA, what did they do with that information? And was it used to brush her back, to apply leverage, to keep her on board in all of the controversies that have surfaced? And so I feel that if we could get the 1-2 punch, that if the New York Times would finally publish the information about NSA monitoring of top elected officials and government officials, that this really could lead to what I hope will be a new church commission that could make dramatic changes. As you know, Russ, I'd like to see the FISA court completely abolished, and I'd like to see the NSA return to its original mission and not be permitted to creep its mission into surveillance of Americans in the United States.
I'm right there with you. What's ironic about Frank Church and the Church Committee is NSA was spying on Frank Church and the Church Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, the reason that we found out that just this past summer was apparently some vestige of that information was in a document that was put into archives, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to understand that all the other information that would have been associated with that in NSA was destroyed, would have been shredded and burned. So that's what NSA does when they want to hide something. They did it with Stellar Wind information. They go, oh crap, they're liable to find out. Let's start shredding and burning everything we get our hands on. So the whole idea that even a Frank style investigation is going to find out everything is, as soon as that investigation starts to line up people and start buying paper clips, NSA is shredding and burning.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russ, it's always great to talk with you, and I always learn quite a bit, and this was a very interesting exchange. I want to remind people that some of what we discussed is speculative, and we're asking questions that need to be answered, but I always appreciate your expertise and your intuition as we explore this world that is all brand new to people like me.
Yeah, as time goes on, little bits of the puzzle just keep rolling out. So, like you say, murder will out. In time, I think most of this will come. It just, the question is how much time.
Mm-hmm. Russell Tice, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me for this latest investigation of the United States of surveillance. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until